I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to My Songs Suck, the show where we listen to bad songs from good writers. I'm Alex Smith and I'm a musician.
I'm James Keogh and I'm the friend of a musician. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to My Songs Suck. It's our second episode of season two.
Episode 13?
Dump bump, wow. I don't even know. Would that be correct in the context?
No, it wouldn't be. No, it'd be 24, right?
Yeah, wow. Surely.
I'd beef that so hard. 25. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's good to start back on a good foot.
Start on a bang. My name is James Keogh.
I'm Alex Smith.
And joining us for this...
A friendly face.
Writhing in the studio as we try to have one nice conversation and we just mess it up.
Oh, man.
It's Aidan Bradley.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
How's everybody?
Yeah, good. Welcome back, buddy. It's been a year.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a whole year since you've last joined us.
Yes, it's been a big year. A lot of things have happened in that year.
Ooh, tell us about it. What have you done this year?
Like this year is in...
From the last time we saw you.
Yeah, okay. I did a tour, which was cool.
Yeah, you did.
That was fun. I did shows in Sydney, Melbourne, Bendigo.
Ooh.
Bendigo, right?
Yes.
Newcastle, if you want to go more regional. There was a huge string of regional dates. So Lismore, Nimbin, Kira, Toowoomba, and then Brisbane. So it was, a 14 show tour in 9 cities.
That's intense.
Yeah, man. Was that before or after management? Was that through management that you got there?
That was through management. I just got stuck on, like, they were like, oh, this band's going on tour. Do you want to go opening for them? And I said yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
It was great. Nice. It was a really good experience. I met a lot of really, really cool people, particularly in Sydney. I bonded with a lot of musicians in Sydney.
Oh, great. That's
really
awesome.
Well. There's a real good sense of camaraderie down there, I think, because the scene's just going completely to shit. So they realize they've just got to have each other's backs because no one else does.
Oh, no. That's weird because you'd think that, like, Sydney being such a big city in comparison to here, you know, that it would be a bit more thriving.
Well, it's also got the tightest lockout laws.
Oh, really?
The lockout laws really screw over musicians because they introduced a bunch of new, like, decibel limits and stuff like that.
Oh, shit.
So people call in complaints to live music venues, like, all the time.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't move next to a live music venue.
Yeah.
If you don't like live music.
I'm going to move next to the Prince of Captain Cook Hotel, and I'm going to complain when it's really loud there, even though it's, like, objectively louder during rugby season
when people go
there, get shit-faced and fight over rugby.
It's also like a comforting loudness. I find like the dull, really bassy, like...
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the actually, sound of something exciting happening in another room is very calming for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose it's like when you like, if you put like a TV show on while you're in bed and you just like, you turn it off and you're like, oh, I was way sleepier when the show was on.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
My friend, when we were in high school, he used to live like... in Fortitude Valley, like right near, you know, the Chinatown and Brunswick Street, like where, you know, all the clubs would be happening. And so he'd be like, yeah, just on the weekends, like I fall asleep to like police sirens and ambulance. Like I can't get to sleep without it. I'm like, cool.
It's great. If you can't afford like a Spider-Man outfit, just move to the Valley. You can fall asleep and pretend you're in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
I wondered where the fuck you were going.
Yeah,
I'm so glad that you brought it back around.
With such a
calm delivery. It was great.
So you went on a tour.
I did.
Have you been on many like tours like that, like big tours?
Not like proper tours. I've done like a string of shows in like different towns before, but it was never like this is a branded tour.
Yeah.
The event is the tour.
Yeah.
You're going to play this many shows back to back and understand what hating yourself is really like. And then we finally got to the end and I was like, oh my, is it over? Is it over? Can I go to sleep now? Please?
Yeah. Do you have any like highlights from that experience, that new experience?
The first show in Sydney that I played in at the Mosh Pit, which I think is in Kingston, I want to say. I don't think that's a real suburb. That was like first show I'd ever played in like another capital city.
Mm.
It was the most nervous I had ever been for a show in the longest time.
Yeah.
And it was packed.
Cool.
And I was like, guys, there's like, fuck... fucking, it's like it, about the size of the space that we were recording it in, very small venue. And there's like fucking 40 people in there. I was like, how is this happening? I'm like the first act on the lineup. It's like 6:30. What are you people doing? Why are you here? And that was really great. Really. And also like, again, the bands in Sydney were like really, really supportive. Like cool. I was standing outside with a bunch of them and they're like, yeah, man, fucking, yeah, it was great.
That's awesome.
People, yeah. Everyone's like really complimenting each other a lot, which was like really great. And I think that's like a really lovely thing when everyone's like standing outside, people like finished pack up, people like having the last drink, having cigarettes and like just chatting about like the music that got made that night and like talking about each other in like a really positive way. That was really, really nice.
And that's like, that's often necessary when you're the new kid from Brisbane who's, you know, there on his own and having that community who's supporting you.
And it was like, I remember because I didn't take time off work for the tour. So what I would do is I would like fly out on Thursday morning, play a show wherever. So like in Sydney. So I'd play a show in Sydney on Thursday, play a show in Newcastle on Friday, play another show in Sydney on Saturday, fly home on Sunday, and then work Monday to Wednesday.
Wow.
And then fly out again on Thursday. I did that for about 4 weeks.
Wow.
And by the end of it, I remember I like, after the Brisbane show, which sold out, which was wonderful.
Oh, nice.
I remember I like got in my car, I drove home and I like just fucking started bawling my eyes out because it was over.
Oh no.
And I was just, no, but it was like in such like a good way. I was like, oh my God, I fucking did it.
The catharsis.
I did like both of my lives full time for like fucking 4 weeks and like I did it and I could see how like much my career had progressed in like the 4 weeks. It's like a very linear thing because like you play shows, you bug people to follow your social media and that's like normally like how shows go, and then it's like you do all of them back to back and it's like, oh my God, there's just been this huge jump in like the amount of people that are like following me on fucking Facebook, Instagram, and
so
like
good.
Listening to my shit on Spotify. It was like such like a big thing, and I also wasn't super broke because I'd worked a whole bunch. I'd managed to fit 30 hours into 3 days, and like, yeah, it was, go home, cried, slept for a good fucking 38 hours, and then went back to my day, my life,
your normal life again.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anything else happened other than the tour in this year?
So I've written a new EP.
Great.
I've written two EPs actually.
Which kind of brings us nicely to the song for the day.
It does bring us nicely to the song.
Oh, yeah. We should probably talk about the song.
Thanks, Alex. Speaking of Alex.
Hello.
Yeah. He actually features on this demo, which is bad. And we both came to the consensus was bad. And then my co-producer, after I scrapped it, was like, yeah, that was bad. This demo is a very not good version of like a song that I've completely rewritten and redone. And I can't wait to just dissect this motherfucker because me and my co-producer had such a long chat about like how we could have made it work and how neither of us really wanted to do that. But it's since been rewritten and all of us involved, including Alex, who's still featuring on it, are very much a lot happier with
it. If we scrap the next version, then that means that I am what makes it bad, because the other songs on the EP that I've heard are really good.
Oh, thank you,
man. So if the EP comes out without me as a feature, it means that we figured out that I was
because the EP is in like, it's an entirely collaborative EP. So I wrote four songs and I'm getting four different people to feature on each one of them.
That's great.
And I particularly targeted more or less soloists, people who sort of work on their own in terms of writing. I think that in Brisbane, being a soloist, being on your own is in a lot of ways, obviously there's challenges that present themselves with being in a band, but for a soloist, there's a whole different plethora of challenges. Notably, I think there's a lot less of a leniency to give sort of soloists a chance that they'll give bands, because a band will come to an event and you'll be like, can we play a gig this night? If there's four people in the band and they all bring five friends, well, that's a lot of people spending money at the bar.
Sure.
Being a soloist, you can't really sort of pull that thing because, you don't.
There's only one of you.
Yeah, there's only one of you. And it's very much a thing about getting gigs is really the bar wanting to get a lot of people to buy drinks.
Right.
And it's difficult. And that's why I wanted to target people who I thought were a bit lesser known and, you know, people who I think have something really, really cool to contribute, but don't necessarily get all of the platforms that they could contribute it on.
Yeah.
So, this song, are we listening to it now?
Let's do it. What's the name of the track?
This track is called Ignore Me.
Ah.
which the new version is also called Ignore Me, but isn't total dog shit. So,
and bearing in mind, unlike other songs where we've had like, are we still going? Where we still had a few years to like cool off, this is still very fresh and tender. So yeah, be really? Gentle. Be gentle.
We scrapped this last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday? Tuesday?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we scrapped this on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So this is fresh.
I spent all of Wednesday.
Criticism.
Yeah, I'm not going to...
I spent all of Wednesday in this hot little room tracking like a new demo and writing new lyrics and doing all of that stuff. And then I sent it to my co-producer and he was like, fuck yes, you did it. And I'm like, I'm going to go lie down, Tim. I don't feel very well.
Oh, man. Well, I can't wait. Why don't we take a listen?
My inbox is empty and I'm out of friends. Woke up hurting again this morning, but it's all in my head. Vacant shows and broken bones, these are the dreams we fought for. No money in my hands, no fuel in my tank, no one up on the dance floor. Turn your back and count to eight and hope I go away. Go ahead and ignore me, it's not like you'd be the only one. Tell me I need to be patient when you've no idea what I've done. My nerves are on fire and my brain is fucked, but that's the way it goes. Try so hard to grab your attention, but it all goes up in smoke. I've got as much hype as I'm allowed. If it was gonna happen, it would happen by now. Go ahead and ignore me, it's not like you. Checks, but we're alright. Our rent is always late, but we'll be fine. Can't seem to cash a break, but we'll get by. Can't afford another mistake, so please just try.
So that was Go Ahead and Ignore Me by Aidan Bradley, feat. Your man, Alex Smith.
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
I didn't mind it. Like as new ears, as fresh ears to this track, it's kind of groovy, you know. I didn't mind it. I don't think it's as bad as you. I saw you doing some groans,
I will say in terms of mixing, because what happened was Aidan had the track and he had his you had your final vocals on, right? Except for like some demo-y parts.
No, that was what I did. I was working on like this new vocal thing that my co-producer thought would be cool. And it would be cool if we had had the time to actually properly work it out. Mm. That's actually the scratch vocal.
Okay.
That's
okay,
a scratch vocal.
I was going to say. So the instrumentation was as it was though, right?
Yeah.
Then we had scratch vocals, and then I recorded my vocals, and then we were kind of like, I'm not sure about this. And then that's where we kind of pulled the plug. So in terms of mixing, that's why I think the vocals aren't sitting quite.
Yeah, it's because I just gave up on it.
So you recorded them on your own and sent them in?
No, I went to.
We made a day of it. It was nice.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Very good.
Yeah. Made him a cup of tea.
Did you?
Yeah, it was very nice. I had to hit them notes. How should we approach this? Should we do good, bad, general, or should we do your notes, my notes, Aiden's notes?
Well, Aiden, why don't you cap us off, because you sort of, you know, presented this as something that you weren't even, you know, willing to listen back to, and I'm interested to know why.
So I think there's a lot of things that happened with this song, and there was a lot of things that were going on in my like mindset while I was making it. The first thing I think is that I wouldn't be excited listening to this. I wouldn't, like, if I found this on like a Discover playlist or something, I wouldn't be like, fuck, I need to listen to this a whole bunch. I wouldn't be excited. This would be the kind of song that I would skip.
It wouldn't stick.
Yeah, it wouldn't get like that part of your brain going that's like, fuck, this really resonates with me. It wouldn't excite me. I think, and this is going back to when I was like first working on the demo, which was quite a while ago. I largely thought that because it was like a collaborations EP, I could pretty largely stray from the genre that I'm used to working into, which is like reverbed up, sad. Indie white boy shit. And I think that was probably a mistake, because that was the one thing that my co-producer and I, the day we properly pulled the plug, I just got off, I was talking on the phone with him. This was just before I called you to say that I'm going to redo it and we'll see how we feel about a new version. He was like, look, we could make this work. We absolutely could make this work. You're a good enough musician to make this work, but it won't sound anything like you. And I thought, well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be a problem. And I think if we did do all the things that he would have done, it would have been not even for people who listen to my music, it would have been unrecognizable to them, but it also would have been like, well, this is just going to be like kind of like a weird B-side that I guess I remember before. Which is weird, because I didn't do that with any of the other songs in the EP. They're very sort of strict into my genre.
Oh, right.
That's a lot of what I... Because when we were recording, we took a bit of a break in the middle because I was like, I can't figure out this bridge harmony. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
So we had a cup of tea, and then you were like, do you want to hear the other stuff on the EP? And I was like, fuck yeah. And like, I was getting pumped about this as we were doing it. And then I heard the next single, which we're going to listen to the end of this, and then the single after that. And I was like, dude, my song's going to be like the bad one on the EP.
and that was the thing that resonated with me, really, that Alex said. He said, and you said it like off the cuff, almost as like a joke. Because I don't think you were being entirely serious, but you were like, oh.
I would have been serious. But yeah, I deliver my heartfelt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said, oh, I'm on the worst song. And I thought like, and I was like, oh, I mean,
there has to be a worst song.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. True. And then I was like, he's not wrong. But it's like the worst song by so many degrees. It's not like just like one of them's not just going to narrow like edge it out. It's like the worst song. Like it's not.
And I wouldn't have said that if I didn't feel it was largely my fault. I feel like because of the key it's in, I've got kind of double track. I've got the low vocal where I'm matching Aiden. Yeah. And I've got the octave. Mm. And I felt like for me to be able to sing on this, I had to give a performance that was bad. And so, because with the other ones, I feel like they really showcase the person that you're collabing with really well. And it's you guys like coming together to do something cool, the two of you. Whereas I felt like this was like you were doing a song and I was nasally squealing in the background.
I noticed it was higher than, you know, most songs that you've done before. Like it's the,
I wouldn't have just been like, this song's bad, man. It was like, I feel like my addition to this song makes it bad was my angle.
Yeah. Which is not how I felt. I felt it was bad. Cause like, and that was like, it was always kind of in the back of my mind. Like, do I actually like this? I don't think I do. But also like, yeah.
Well, for that in particular, for the idea of scrapping songs, to speak generally, when do you sort of feel is the line of like, here's a thing I've been working on? Do you kind of get the sort of gambler's fallacy of, I've been working on this for so long, you know, even if it's bad, I got to keep with it? Or do do you get to a certain point with songs where you're just like, this is not salvageable?
I definitely get to the point where I'm like, this is like, we need to cut our losses on this.
Sure.
Because like we may have spent like a lot of time, but I don't. And keep in mind, I've only like, I write like a lot of songs. Mm. Like for every song that comes out, there's like five that I've written. And then for that one song that comes out, there's like five drafts of lyrics. It takes a little bit for me to get to the stage where it's like, this isn't working.
Mm.
This really isn't working. And I guess also like, I've recently brought in a co-producer. Previously, all my stuff was produced by myself.
Sure.
And he's made that process a lot easier.
Okay.
He's made that process where he's like, don't do that. And I'm like, yeah, you got
it. So he's your extra set of eyes.
Yeah. Because the way Tim and I work is I'll send him a song that's like 2/3 done.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, this is cool. Consider changing this, 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 and this. I'm going to send you a whole bunch of shit. Drop it in over the song. Keep what you want and delete what you don't. And then like just recently, the demo that I showed you, Stupid Things, one of the other songs on the EP, the acoustic-y one.
Yeah, the punk.
Yeah, he's like, the strumming pattern's boring. You should change the strumming pattern.
Mm.
And then like 9 times out of 10, whenever I do it, he's right. Because he's like, it's just a different perspective, and it's someone who's a lot more objective, you know. It's someone who's like, this strumming pattern is fine, but just know it's been done thousands of times. Like, yeah, if you can do something slightly different.
I think a thing that we fall into and why it's good to have someone to bounce off is that we know like our intention and what we're trying to do. So when we see what we put down, we're only putting down like 70% of it, but in our mind we're seeing 100%. We're seeing the context.
Yeah.
Whereas that person is just seeing what it is.
Yeah.
And they're just like, it doesn't work. Which is a useful thing.
Yeah.
Do you scrap many songs, Alex?
Oh, dude, like Aiden, you write five, you put out one, and that's the thing. The thing is, if it takes you a long time to write music, that those are the people that put out worse stuff, because it's kind of like, oh, it took me so long to write and I never write. So that's why it's important to be disciplined and write often so that you can throw away more songs.
Sure. It is also a skill. Like, it's a thing that develops as you write more shit. Part of the time, like, you know, there's like that write a song every day challenge.
Yeah.
I tried rewriting the same song every day for five days.
Oh, okay.
And that's messed things up. So something worked. People tell me it's good. I think there's like, I've met a lot of people that are like, yeah, we wrote this in an afternoon. Yeah, that's, yeah, you don't like it? Well, we wrote it in an afternoon.
Yeah.
Can maybe take another afternoon.
Yeah, right? Like, that's not an excuse.
And work on it a touch more. And that's not me like dunking on anyone. It's just like, it's good songs are rewritten. They aren't written, they're rewritten. Yeah. And when you like, I've like recorded demos and then gone back the next day and be like, what the fuck is this? Get rid of this. And then I burn my computer.
Yeah.
I think it's also a good skill. Because sometimes it doesn't take writing the whole song to know you should jump ship. Like, you can write like a verse chorus and be like, yeah, I can see what this is about, and it's not really worth pursuing. And I think that saves a lot of time.
Yeah. And I probably, I do that an awful lot, which is just like, here's a verse idea. Oh, it's shit. Okay, cool. Next one.
And then you kind of have but then that's still on the shelf, you know, if there's stuff, if there's a good, you know, line in there, and it's like, oh, I might pull
like
that,
it might not work in that configuration.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
That verse might be a great bridge for like another song.
It's also a great tool to sort of realize what you don't like. Like, that's what I always found about drafts, where it's like the first draft, who fucking cares what you write? Because the sooner you write it, the sooner you can figure out how to fix it. Like, if you write a bunch of bad lines, well, the sooner you do that, the sooner you realize what lines that you want to change.
Sure.
And the sooner that you can get to doing that. Mm. Like, if you don't realize that there's a problem in, like, if you don't draft, you don't realize why you don't like it.
Yeah.
And if you don't realize why you don't like it, you can't, I mean, you can, but like I struggle to see how a lot of people get to the conclusion where they fix it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And that's a good, you know, that's why it's good that you have this demo, you know, so that you can look at it and say, oh, okay, this actually is quite bad. I'm going to fix it up in this way. Like, you wouldn't be able to make the fixed song if you didn't have this as like a jumping off point.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
I can't remember who said it, but they were like, it's important to writing bad songs are important because then you've already written it and you won't write it again. Like, you won't write that bad song later.
I want to say that was like Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, that sounds
I feel
right.
like that was Ed Sheeran. He was like the guy who was like, it's like a dirty tap. You turn it on and all the shit comes out and then you get clean water. So if you get all the shit songs out of you, eventually it'll just be good songs.
Yeah.
Nice. What do you think of that?
Well, I've got bad, good, and general.
Give us... We've heard a lot of bad. Let's hear some good.
Okay.
What? Really? Good? Yeah, I got some shit.
I really like the production. I really like the record hiss and the vibe, very summery vibe.
Mm.
I'll always... The thing that I can't do and struggle with and have a lot of respect for people who can do is all the little plunky producer things, like a little xylophone here. I don't know if it was xylophone because I'm like an idiot, but there was like just some plunky stuff. And like, I like little bits. I like the glitter that you chuck on a song, the little bits that you don't plan and be like, and I will have a wind chime here. Like, it's always just the little stuff. I like that. Good vibe, very summery. And I enjoyed the... great guitar playing. Very good guitar playing, as always.
Yeah, no, Bradley, I love the guitar man.
Good message, the struggle as a musician.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that.
I liked it a lot.
I'm sure we will.
That's cool. I thought this was decent. I didn't think it was terrible. Certainly not, you know, at the level of some of the stuff we've listened to from Alex and, you know, stuff.
Wow,
Jesus. Jesus. Dunk me for no reason.
The song is that your old song sung.
I guess. We weren't talking about that just then, though.
Fuck.
To me, like, I'm sorry for throwing you under the bus.
No, it was very funny.
But it's not, you know what I mean? Like, this has years of experience behind it in a way that, you know, some high schooler writing a song wouldn't have. So it's like,
yeah, that's not like, is that, that kind of diminishes my excuse further.
True.
Like, oh, he's got years of experience behind it. So why are you making such shit, man? Like what?
No, but it's a demo. It's fine. You use this one to figure out how to make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I got Evanescence vibes from this song. I don't know why, listening to it in the studio, when it's just like,
I can see that.
Like, I'm like, oh, hello.
Yeah,
Evanescence.
I get an Evanescence vibe from it, just a little bit.
Yeah, I don't as much get a summery vibe, I gotta say.
Summery conflict. Verse.
Summery verse. Okay.
Boom, boom, boom,
boom,
boom, boom. That's very summery for me.
Yeah,
that makes me think of like driving in a car with your windows down. Mm. Summer. That's summery.
It's summer. That's summer.
Chorus is not summery.
The chorus is not summery.
Chorus is bad.
Did you like, when you were fixing it up, did you, like, rip out and change the lyrics, or did you just kind of change the vibe of it?
Everything.
Everything?
I completely rewrote it.
Amazing.
Alex has heard it. He can testify.
Well, I've heard the instrumental, so I haven't heard any of the new lyrics. I didn't know the lyrics were any different.
Have you?
Yeah, you sent me, you didn't send me a song. You sent me that video.
Holy shit,
on your phone
or
the computer.
Oh my god, no. I didn't send it to you.
Oh, that's all right.
Holy shit, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's why I was confused when you're like, did you listen to the...
Oh my god.
You're like, did you listen to the new one?
I swear to god, I sent you a OneDrive link with it in there.
Not to my knowledge.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
That's why I was confused, because I was like, yeah, you sent me a Facebook video of like your screen playing like 20 seconds of it. And I was like, yeah
and
was
that
good.
Was like just chords. That wasn't anything. That wasn't a song. I was just like, look, here's progress. I have proof of concept.
I was like, sounds good.
Oh, fuck, man. Really? Oh, man.
That's
I could have
exciting.
Swore I sent you the
same demo I sent my co-producer.
Well, I look forward to that.
Yeah, you've got more to listen to.
Okay, well, I just want you to know, he went off his fucking nut. Like, he called me from work at his day job.
That explains that response more. Because I was just like, 20-second Facebook video. Like, it was pretty good.
Oh, my God. He like, called me from his day job and be like, you fucking did it, son. You did it. I thought you were going to... Because I was like... I told him that I was canning, and I was like, I'll have a new demo for you in 24 hours. And he's like, I thought you were going to send me, like, another fucking song. I didn't think you were going to, like... fucking bust your ass on this all day. And he's like, this is fucking Jesus.
So like, I guess rather than asking what's changed, what actually has stayed in when you're kind of rebuilding
Ooh.
This song?
A few of the lyrics. The chorus became kind of like a pre-chorus. It's a lot more, it's both simultaneously less and more structured. So there's like an intro, there's a verse, there's a pre-chorus, which is really like verse part two. It's just like it's the same length as the verse, but it's like different chords and different lyrics and a different melody.
Nice.
And then into the chorus, the bridge lyrics are the same, but delivered very, very differently.
Is that turn your back and count to eight and hope I go away?
No, that's the old pre-chorus. That's the old pre-chorus. The bridge is we can't live on royalty checks, but we're all
right. Oh, right.
Yeah.
You know, the bridge. I was thinking of the pre-chorus. It's a different song.
But
concept.
It's all together, it's very different, and it's just objectively fucking better. It's just way better. Yeah. Which is good. I'm glad I went through the process of like hating myself for a few hours so I could produce something better.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I really like Mess Things Up as a song that I've written, and I think this kind of sits on par with it.
That's cool. Very exciting to hear, because I really like Mess Things Up.
Huh.
Which, yeah, I think it. Thank you very much for that, by the way. But I think definitely it's like it's on par, and you could definitely see how Mess Things Up then turns. If you're listening to the songs back to back, you could definitely see how Mess Things Up then goes into Ignore Me.
Mm, cool.
So thematically, it makes a lot more sense with the EP.
That's good.
So it's, oh man, I feel so bad that I didn't actually send it to you.
That's alright.
Maybe that's a good thing though, because like the vocal take that I did was like a one take to be like, here's an idea. I'm just gonna hit the vague approximation of some notes for you.
Is it more now? Because you mentioned before it wasn't really in your style. Is it now more in your style?
God, yeah. Cool. Definitely. And it's like I always I like said to myself when I was making Boat Ramps, my EP, like I'm done with making guitar records.
Mm.
I want to write like other instruments, and I want to write.
But like, you're really good at guitar records.
I just don't. It's for me.
Sure.
So like that's why Mess Things Up has like sense and true, a lot more attention paid to like the harmonies, and there's a lot more vocal work, and my vocal melodies are a lot more better than Boat Ramps. And like the new version of Ignore Me starts with an organ, which I can't play keys.
Sure.
But it's got like this droning organ that it starts with, and it's probably, I think, the first song I've ever written that doesn't start with guitar.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
It's just organ for like the first 16, like organ and vocals for like the first 16 bars.
That's cool. That's
awesome. And it's like, oh my God, there's no guitar and there's my voice still. That's crazy.
Ooh.
That's crazy.
What is this? What's going on?
You mentioned to me when we were recording that you got your singing instructor. She was like kind of there while you were recording your vocals for Mess Things Up, and that you felt that you gave like a better performance. Do you think that it would be worth like getting her on for other ones if she kind of like...
I kind of feel... Lily is, she's my vocal coach, and she is also, she's the featured artist on Mess Things Up.
I should have said that.
She's the featured artist on Mess Things Up.
I imagined like she's just in the corner, just like critiquing as you're...
No, I actually, and that's a thing that so many people have commented on, it's like your voices just work so well together, which is great because mine is bad and hers isn't, so it kind of counterbalances.
It sounds great on the track. Oh, it sounds really good.
Thank you. And like I've had messages from people, and people have been like, you should just like write her a bunch of songs, write like a bunch of songs, do an EP with her specifically, and release that, and it'll be great.
I think that would be very well received.
Is she a musician herself?
Yes, she is.
Cool.
So she studied at the con.
Oh wow, nice.
And has been a vocal coach since think she was 20.
Cool.
Which is cool. Hi Lily, if you listen to this, by the way.
Hi Lily.
Hope our song is going well.
I don't know you, but hello.
Please stop yelling at me in lessons. No, she's cool. She's great. I'm going to her wedding in July.
Congratulations, Lily.
Congratulations, Lily.
Oh, how fantastic.
And it's funny, right? Because she gigs with her fiance, who is like a con-trained guitarist.
Oh, wow.
So it's like they actually opened the leg of the show in the leg of the tour in Toowoomba.
Oh, nice.
And I was like sitting there with the other musicians who were playing that night. I'm like, are you guys ready to feel super incompetent? Are you guys ready to feel completely junk about your crafts?
Singer from the con and guitarist from the con.
Yeah, and he's got like a master's in composition.
Oh, no way.
Damn.
Yeah, he's
cool.
He's
that's so cool.
Porik is an insanely talented and very, very nice human. He's a very nice guy. He's very tall.
Oh.
He's very tall. No, he's a great guy.
I like it.
He also teaches guitar. They have that's how they live. They live in their house where they both teach their respective instruments.
That's fantastic.
It's fucking adorable.
I'd imagine that's just such a creative environment just to like live in.
Yeah.
I love it.
They sound like lovable characters from a show that aren't the main characters.
Yeah, yeah.
But you get excited when they come onto screen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like watching at home, you're like, oh yeah.
I imagine them living in like a little hut, and it's perpetually the golden hour, and they live by the cliffs, and they just play their music.
So sorry, Lily, for creating this like fantastical life for you.
No, it's not too far.
Have a great life.
It's not too far from the truth, based on what I know.
Fantastic. Where to now?
I mean, I've always got notes.
Oh, of course.
This is why I bring my laptop. Oh, shit. I'm going to get crucified here. Alex is going to crucify this song. Oh, no, I'm being very gentle.
Don't, though. Don't for the next one. Yeah, please.
Why was it so bad? Did you knock the bad dial up? No, I'm kidding. I thought for a second there you were like, why did you think it was so bad? I was like ready to be like, oh, well. But you were like, why was it so bad? It's fucking terrible,
did
man.
You accidentally spill some bad juice on this song? Because it's very bad.
And it was just a bottle that says featuring your man Alex Smith. I'm just like, now the song's ruined.
Oh, thank you for turning that back to self-deprecation. I really appreciate
my strongest
that.
Skill.
We can feel bad together.
Yeah. Turn your back and count to eight. Presumably, like a musical thing, obviously.
Let's go with that.
I was gonna say why? Why
I could. Like? I thought I could slant rhyme late with away.
Oh, true.
But
true,
yeah,
true.
The musical thing. Mm. Yeah, that.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, that's it. Totally. Yeah.
To my knowledge, this song, because when I listen to music, I am very basic. So I imagine if I was singing and blah, 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 or sure. I imagine like the person I'm singing about. For me, this felt like it reminded me of my days when I used to play at famous establishments.
Say it.
I wouldn't say it. And people would ignore me. And so was this kind of like a song that you could play in those places? Because I've wanted to write a song being like, don't even look up from your fucking meal. You know, like
wow,
those songs
yeah.
where you're singing at them and being like, fuck you for not paying attention
sure.
to me. But also still like putting on good performance. Was this a bit of a fuck you to the people who ignore musos?
No, actually, I don't mind those people. I think because I've always carried this weird chip on my shoulder that no one's obligated to give a fuck about your music.
That's
like, it's your job to make them.
Yeah,
cool. And I think it's weird. And I do them like I do the pub gigs as well, and for money. And it's like when you realize that no one actually gives a shit. People are just there to get drunk, eat, and smoke cigarettes. Then it's like you are just a part of the background, and it makes the dealing with the whole thing so much easier. This is actually more of a fuck you to the music industry.
True. It's like paid rehearsal.
Pardon?
It's like paid rehearsal.
Yeah, yeah. It is like paid rehearsal.
What do you mean
not
by
the
that,
fuck
sorry?
You to the music industry. That's not paid rehearsal.
Yeah, no, that's not paid rehearsal.
What do you mean?
So like, if you're playing to a room, people who aren't listening, that just
means
you're just getting some experience.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly.
And cash, hopefully. Yeah. Like I do like 3-hour pub gigs just because it's like, it's half my rent. For the fucking
that's
nonsense.
Cool. Yeah.
I guess I'm just a worse person than you.
No, I don't know. No. But I'm also pretty good at being like, hey, here's a loop. You guys fucking listen to it. I'm going to check my phone while I'm on stage, technically. Whatever. Fuck it. No one cares. The bartenders don't care. They'll just be like, yeah, here's your fucking $200. Come back next week, please.
Yeah.
No one fucking cares. It's different to like a ticketed show when there's like an actual stage
sure,
and
yeah.
people who like bought tickets. So they're like, hopefully they care.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You'd hope so.
Yeah, you'd hope so. No, this song was more of like a fuck you to the music industry because like, I don't know, it's not even, like it's not targeted at anyone. It's just like really deep-seated frustrations that I have, you know, when it's like, obviously a lot of these organizations can't respond to every email, but like when you send out 40 emails to 40 different people and zero of them fucking get back to you, like it's really difficult to not take that personally. Even though it's not like a personal thing. No one's dunking on you because of who you are. It's like they've probably got 200 emails that day from people
sure.
saying the exact same shit with a song that probably sounds vaguely fucking similar, asking for the same old crap.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're doing it for like, oh, fucking Aiden again, lol, delete. It's not like that. It's like, it's just difficult to, at the end of doing that, when you've created something that you think is really cool, it's so hard to not take it personally.
Sure.
It's
so disheartening. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so hard to not be like, oh, fuck. Like, I remember once when one of my songs came out, I emailed a radio station about it. I sent them, like, a full press kit. It was a full professional email. It was like, yeah, this is what the song's about. Here's a link to the song. I hope you enjoy it. Social media, yada, yada, yada. And I just got the word back, cool.
Oof.
Yeah.
Which and is, I, like,
aside from being unprofessional, it's pretty just a disgusting way to treat
that's
someone.
So rude.
And I, like, turned my computer off, got into, I was, like, 19 at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Got into bed and, like, cried. For like 10 minutes and then got up, turned my computer back on and started emailing more people.
And it's like just subjecting yourself to this kind of fucking rejection all of the time.
So rough.
Which again, like it's not like no one's obligated to give a shit, but it's like I get really frustrated when it comes down to your marketability. Which is obviously fucking what makes the world go around. But like I get really frustrated when it's like, oh, you're weirdly tall and lanky and fucking you're going to finish losing your hair in about 14 minutes. And like, you're just not marketable because you're just singing weird Ryan Adams-esque reverbed up nonsense about fucking having sex with boat ramps. You're not marketable.
That was a really big rant. I apologize.
Oh, good. We encourage rants on this show.
We're going to clip everything except for this rant.
Like, I remember when my friend's band got to number one on Earth. And stayed at number one on the Earth for like 3 weeks.
Wow.
Damn. They got zero reviews from anyone on Triple J.
Were they played on Triple J?
No. And like, it came down to like marketability.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's like, clearly people were listening to this song, or clearly people were enjoying it.
Sure.
But it came down to marketability.
That's crap.
I think it sucks that, I'm just trying to filter through like the layers of this mini rant.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
No. Like, so Triple J... So iTunes is important, apparently. You know, if you sell someone, oh, I'm on iTunes, they're like, oh, so you're really big. And it's like, and you can buy my stuff on iTunes, but I'll get like 1 cent for the whole album. Or you could go to Bandcamp, where I get like 90% of the money. You get all these downloads, you get a WAV.
You can stream it, because Bandcamp has a new streaming platform.
Yeah.
Anything that you buy on Bandcamp, you can stream indefinitely. And I think a lot of phone plans, it doesn't actually cost you data anymore.
Sick. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
I've told people I'm on Triple J, and they're like, "You're on Triple J on Earth? That's huge!" And it's like, A, you just need to apply, and B, so Australia has decided that Triple J on Earth is like the way to make it. But you can be number one on Earth, but like they have a small group of people, and a small group of people with a small group of music tastes,
exactly.
And like, so that's the shitty thing. Like, this small group of people decides whether people get to succeed and play these huge music festivals.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I do think that it's like it's a tastemakers game, you know. It's like,
totally.
It's, and I don't want to use that to discredit any of the bands that I know have worked really hard that have got success from Triple J. I think Amy Shark's story is a pretty heartwarming one, where she was like on the fucking precipice of giving up.
Yeah.
And then people realized that she's actually quite a good musician. Yeah.
Like, you do still need to be good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that's still true. I want to make that clear.
And like, it's a tastemaker's game, and it's like it has sort of everything to do with like where you are at what time.
Yeah.
And you can't rig that variable. That you can't fix that, you know, like there's no way that you can't like sit at your desk and grind it out for fucking 8 hours to make you at a better place at a better time. It's not like a linear progression, you know? Mm. Everyone I know who's done really well has been like fucking nothing, fucking nothing, fucking nothing, fucking nothing. Mm. And then like fucking Pete Murray will be like, do you want to open for me? And then bang.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, everyone gives a shit about this one person. And it's like...
And I think now, because like there's this perception that, you know, now with, you know, SoundCloud and Bandcamp and all that kind of stuff, it's like, oh, anyone can just start making music and put it out there and be successful. But it's like, no, just like it's always been, it's about luck and it's about being in the right place at the right time. And it's like,
it's the anyone can cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now anyone can cook, but not everyone can cook, you know?
Sure.
It's true.
I mean, yeah, no, you're right.
I see what he's getting at. It's
the opportunity is open to everyone, but you still need to be good to make it.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's sort of, it's the opposite. It's now probably even harder to make it big because of the oversaturation that comes from having these platforms that make it so easy to put your stuff out there.
I think the concept of making it as like in the traditional sense is pretty like outdated. I don't think that's super relevant anymore, because it's like, because there's so many different ways to put music out in the world. There's so many different ways to monetize it, right?
Sure.
And if you take making it as like, financial stability, which is what I always considered making it. I always considered making it be like, I don't have to work a crappy day job. I can make music and I will get paid for it.
Yep. And you can live. Yeah.
That's what I always thought making it was. Doesn't matter if you're making fucking 30K a year or 300,000. That's made it to me.
Yeah.
You are making music and you have convinced enough people to give a shit about you that they will listen to it and you'll be fine. And making it in the traditional sense back from the like the 90s to the early 2000s was like, you work really hard, you grind it out, you write some good songs, go to a record label flips a fucking coin, If it's heads, cool.
Yeah.
You get to have a big career now.
Yeah.
And you get to do all these really great things. Now it's like you're always working at getting like your fucking Spotify followers up so more people hear your shit. You're always working at fucking smashing your and it's like making it is like just inching forward really until you hit a point where it's like, well, I have enough influence to do something really cool now.
Yeah.
It's like the record labels have pretty steadily been dying.
No, I would agree.
Because there's no like money in it anymore.
Sure.
You know,
it's a gamble.
And that now means that you are your own marketing. Yeah. You are your own.
Artists
you know,
have realized that the money can come from them.
Yeah.
Like the money, well, they don't need record label money because doing this is so much easier.
And, totally.
Yeah.
They do need venues not to
shut down.
We do need venues. Down. We do need those.
That is very true.
So, because I feel like we're starting to get towards the end of the episode.
Yeah, we're winding down. We're having a
I did go
cat.
On a big fuck off
no,
rant.
It was a good
I loved
rant,
it.
Man.
I
love a rant.
We all, in this house, we love good rants.
We love a rant. what would you tell yourself a year ago that you feel would help? Because I feel like that's probably would have been helpful for our listeners who are beginning. All advice is
we
good advice.
This, we did this last time, didn't we?
Yeah, man. I try to do it as many times as I can.
So this is what, your advice to you this time last year?
Yeah, that would have been useful for this year.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay if it's only useful to you personally, Aiden Bradley.
Yeah, we're always learning.
Fuck. Please keep holding on. Please, please, for the love of God, keep holding on. Like, I'm such an anxious wreck so much of the time. Like, I don't think I've slept in like 3 days. Jeez. I'm like... I go to bed fucking terrified all the time because like even this tiny modicum of success that I've got, I'm always terrified that something's going to take it away. And like, I just don't want it to. And like, I'm trying to do everything in my fucking power to not let that happen. But it's like, there is something to being, and genuinely believing that you're unconquerable, even if you definitely are I've had so many of my foundations just destroyed, like so much like hope that I had, like just from even like back when we were doing like the last episode when I was like, oh yeah, my debut EP is coming out. It's going to be cool. I can't fucking wait. Like I'm so much more of like a cynical, jaded asshole than I was back then. And it's like, it would just be keep fucking holding on, please, for the love of God. Like you might be fucking miserable doing this, but I don't think you realize how miserable you'll be if you don't.
Yeah.
And I don't think you even want to test that, which is why you're still fucking doing it, you know? Like, anyway, on a slightly more happy note, I think successful people are people that are really good at stopping, reevaluating, and then doing something different. I think the theory of insanity that it's doing the same shit over and over again and hoping that something's going to fucking change. If you keep doing the same gigs in the same places with the same people releasing the same fucking music, nothing's going to fucking change. Successful people are people that are really good at doing something. And then before they do anything else, they'd be like, what could we have done that better? Should we do something different? Should we just not do it at all? What do we like? And then proceeding from there. Right. But that can only happen if you have the willpower and the fucking wherewithal to keep going. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I feel like it's like the 7-year business theory where the first 2 years you're fucked. You're not making any money. You're fucking miserable. You have to live like shit. You fucking hate it. And then the second 2 years you realize, fuck, okay. I'm definitely further than I was before. I'm still not making any fucking money. People still don't give a shit who I am, but like I'm further. I've gotten better at my craft. I'm a lot wiser about the shit that I should be doing. I've ironed this down to like the fucking 6 basic tasks that I need to fucking do to succeed in this. And then by the next 2 years, you're like, okay, I've got some fucking money coming in. This is all right. The financial pressure is off a bit. I'm okay calling myself an artist in public. I don't mind introducing myself to people as a musician because I'm doing all right. And then you just fucking hope that the next 2 years is that one step further where you're like, okay, holy shit, I can relax now. You know, it's just fucking keep going for the love of God. Don't stop because we always need more fucking art. It doesn't fucking matter who's making it. There are fucking so many people on this earth. I guarantee you can find at least a small crowd that thinks what you're doing is cool.
Hell yeah.
That was a good advice.
That is great advice. That's great advice for like anyone to like keep going with artistic endeavors, not just artistic endeavors, but endeavors, businesses.
And there's like, there's so much shit that people make that no one fucking sees it. No one sees it. And there's so many people who work so hard on so many things that no one ever fucking sees. And I just like,
Oh, we appreciate you.
Yes.
Or at least I fucking appreciate you. Like, if you're listening to this, I have your fucking back. Please, for the love of God, reach out to me and send me what you've done so I can fucking do something with it. Like,
yeah.
I want, like, I don't know. It's maybe it's just the fact that the world's going to shit, but like fucking, we need art and we need things that make us smile. We need music to listen to while we walk to our jobs that fucking hurt us. We need fucking shit to watch that makes us feel better about being alive. Like, we need that sort of shit.
Totally.
And it's, you know, it's important. And I feel bad for like genuinely really bad for people who work really hard on something and they don't feel like anyone cares, you know, because
people who get that cool in an email, you know, like,
oh, yeah, fucking that. I'm still, can you tell? I'm still fucking annoyed about that. Like,
but you know, that was you. And now, you know, now you're touring.
Yeah,
nine
and that's,
in 40,
I guess
you know,
that
like,
ultimately leads me to the final point where like I got asked to sit on a panel of like for indie like up and coming indie artists because the person who was organizing it thought I was good and like I don't even remember getting up on that panel and there's really important people there. There's like the head of Q Music, there's the fucking music coordinator from 4ZZZ and be like, someone genuinely thinks I belong amongst these people.
Yeah,
like I have to be doing something right.
And
exactly.
If you'd quit, then you wouldn't have been there.
Yeah. And it's like, I remember sitting there and giving answers to these mostly kids about what was happening. And I'd be like, I actually like a year ago, I wouldn't even fucking fathom that I could be considered equals with these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm, even if it's just like the dude who organizes the panel just thinks that some of my songs are cool. Like it's crazy. You know, it's nuts. It's, I think keeping track of your progression is really important because like, and I said this last time, like you can get caught in this weird, horrible forest for the trees situation where you can't see in front of you and you can't see anything and you're just fucking wandering around lost. But like the forest ends somewhere. If you keep going, you can find it.
Hmm. That was nice.
Yeah.
I liked that.
I'm pretty much out of sage quotes now, I think.
Well, one more for the pile, which I feel is relevant and might help you feel
go for
a bit
it.
Better, is that Neil Gaiman, in regards to, forget what the syndrome's called, but it's when you feel like you don't belong.
Oh, imposter.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I think you're saying that, like, don't be so scared of losing everything around you that you don't enjoy, like, remember to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you wake up every day being scared that you're going to lose everything. And then eventually you'll be like, well, I didn't even enjoy it when I had it because I was so scared of losing it. So like,
yeah,
enjoy what you're doing.
Make
you're
good
doing,
art.
You're doing cool things. And yeah, make
thanks,
good art.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate that, my man.
I appreciate you.
Oh, well.
Appreciate you too, son.
Oh, a lot of appreciation going on.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, James.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate Zane.
Zane. I always appreciate Zane, our righteous podcast father.
You.
Well, let's kind of, that's a good kind of note to wind down on, I believe. Would you like to plug some things?
So this comes out on the 22nd of February, right?
It does.
The first single off my new EP, the single's called Mess Things Up. It's going to be on a fully collaborative EP that I've made called Low Key High Strung. That's going to come out the day this comes out. So hopefully you like that. It is, I wrote the song and Lily Rose Porter features on it predominantly. It's a duet between the two of us. You can go listen to that. I hope you like it. I'll be at the launch gig when this fucking comes out probably, but yeah.
Where is the launch gig?
The launch gig will be at Betty's in West End and I have tickets for both of you.
Oh,
Keen.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh.
I knew about that. That's why I didn't say thank you just then. I'm not just a dick who assumes I have free stuff.
That's so cool.
And yeah, hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, all the social medias and follow me on Spotify.
Lovely. Alex, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I'm your man Alex Smith. I'm also a Brisbane musician. I play with Aiden sometimes. And I'm gonna be featuring on this EP, hopefully, unless we try it a bunch of times and just like it's just you that's wrong if they kick me, which is very fair because I want good music, not me music.
No, Alex, you'll be fine, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You'll like the new demo more.
I'm keen.
I feel bad I haven't sent it to you.
But if you want to hear my music, check it out on Spotify and iTunes. It's just your man, Alex Smith.
James,
do you have anything
you'd like to plug? Oh, boy. At this point in time, not particularly. I have other podcasts on this network. Unfeatured Articles is a show that I host with a brand new host as our good friend Riley McNamara has left the state.
He was very good in When the Rain Starts Falling.
He was.
Oh, he was
fantastic. And now he's going to do more acting stuff at NIDA.
Yeah, he got to NIDA.
He's so talented.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
What a boy.
Because he was so talented in When the Rain Stops Falling. NIDA scouted him. They said, let's pick up
the Did that actually happen?
No.
Oh. I believe it.
I have, right? Yeah, so would I, right? He wasn't like, oh my God.
Yeah, no. Would
he
make
he
sense.
Went into Queensland Shakespeare Ensemble he after
did.
That.
He did.
So he went on to do big and better things.
Killed
and-
it. But now we have Hannah Flannery, a lovely friend who has come on the show as our other host.
Hmm.
And Alex Smith as well will be kind of guesting.
I serve as an intermittent weatherman.
Yeah.
I come in sometimes.
And now we turn to Alex.
Yeah.
Yes, but other than that, that's about all I've got.
Cool. Zane, you got anything you want to plug?
I think
we
good
didn't
on
set up a mic for Zane. I'm sorry. Not for this episode anyway.
But, you want to bring us home?
Yeah.
Usually you end these things, right?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I heard time. So I was like, yeah.
You want
yeah.
to bring us home?
I do want to bring us home. Thank you for asking. Well, yeah, we're now going to listen to the single that Aiden's been talking about.
This song is called Mess Things Up. It's myself and Lily Rose Porter.
It's a fine little train wreck we've made tonight, but we do this every time.
The subtle disaster, the poisoned wire we've clung to for so long.
We thought we could shake this disease by now, but getting older didn't help. The best of us left years ago, and so did the best of me. I used to see my heart beat in your eyes. Seasons changed the minute you said you were mine. So let's mess things up again. Let's mess things up again.
Nor am I letting myself sink.
We can't go our own separate ways, but you can't forget the look on my face. I used to see my heart beat in your eyes. Seasons change the minute you said you were mine. So let's mess things up again. Let's mess things up again. We'll wreck our lives and then run around and tell all our friends. So let's mess things up again. Let's mess things up again. Your shadow's made its home in the back of my mind, but I guess that's not your fault.
Peace has been made, but this
misery's so normal to me. Go to bed breathing fire and wake up crying. We're not even in the same room. Peace has been made, but there's no kind of pressure that can staunch these wounds. I used to see my heart beat in your eyes. Seasons change the minute you said you were mine. So let's mess things up again. Let's mess things up again. We'll wreck our lives and then run around and tell all our friends. So let's mess things up again. Let's mess things up again. Let's mess things up again. Let's mess things up again.
Do you enjoy video games, have heard of video games, or perhaps exist in a world where video games also exist? Then we have the podcast for you. Cutscene Saga is the new podcast from That's Not Canon Productions. We focus on the stories and the best bits of all video games, old and new, and discuss them with fans and our regular host, Joe Diskett. So get onto thatsnotcanon.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatching app to find Cutscene Saga, the new video game podcast for you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.